Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text number 21. Bijate Vridaya Granti Chidyanti Sarva Samshaya Shianti Cha Asya Karmani Driste Eva Atmani Ishvare Bijyate Hridaya Grantish. Bijyate Hridaya Grantish. Chidyanti Sarva Samshaya. Chidyante Sarva Samshaya. Shiyante Kasya Karmani. Shiyante kasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare drishta evatmanishvare bijyate hridaya grantish chidyante sarva samshaya shiyante kasya karmani Drishta evatmanishvare. Karmani Vaishnavis Te Sarva Samshaya Vijate, pierced. Hridaya, heart. Granti, knots. Chidyante, cut to pieces. Sarva, all. Samshaya, misgivings. Shiyante, terminated. Cha, and. Asya, his. Karmani, chain of fruit of actions. Driste, having seen. Eva, certainly. Atmani, unto the self. Ishvare, dominating. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruit of actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Probably should be a capital S there. Self. Purport. Attaining scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead means seeing one's own self simultaneously. As far as the identity of the living being as spirit self is concerned, there are a number of speculations and misgivings. The materialist does not believe in the existence of the spirit self, and empiric philosophers believe in the impersonal feature of the whole spirit without individuality of the living beings. But the transcendentalists affirm that the soul and the supersoul are two different identities, qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. There are many other theories, but all these different speculations are at once cleared off as soon as Sri Krishna is realized in truth by the process of bhakti yoga. Sri Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculations about the absolute truth are like the darkest midnight. As soon as the Krishna sun is arisen within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living beings is at once cleared off. In the presence of the sun, the darkness cannot stand, and the relative truths that were hidden within the dense darkness of ignorance become clearly manifested by the mercy of Krishna, who is residing in everyone's heart as the Supersoul. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 11, the Lord says that in order to show special favor to his pure devotees, he personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of a devotee. Therefore, because of the personality of Godhead's taking charge of illuminating the heart of his devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in his service and transcendental love cannot remain in darkness. He comes to know everything of the absolute and relative truths. The devotee cannot remain in darkness, and because a devotee is enlightened by the personality of Godhead, his knowledge is certainly perfect. This is not the case for those who speculate on the absolute truth by dint of their own limited power of approach. Perfect knowledge is called parampara, or deductive knowledge, coming down from the authority to the submissive oral receiver, who is bona fide by service and surrender. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme and know him also at the same time. He reserves the right of not being exposed to such a challenging spirit of an insignificant spark of the whole. A spark subjected to the control of the illusory energy. The devotees are submissive, and therefore the transcendental knowledge descends from the personality of Godhead to Brahma, and from Brahma to his sons and disciples in succession. This process is helped by the Supersoul within such devotees. That is the perfect way of learning transcendental knowledge. This enlightenment perfectly enables the devotee to distinguish spirit from matter, because the knot of spirit and matter is untied by the Lord. This knot is called ahankara, and it falsely obliges a living being to become identified with matter. As soon as this knot is loosened, therefore, all the clouds of doubt are at once cleared off. One sees his master and fully engages himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, making a full termination of the chain of fruit of action. In material existence, a living being creates his own chain of fruit of work and enjoys the good and bad effects of those actions life after life. But as soon as he engages himself in the loving service of the Lord, he at once becomes free from the chain of karma. His actions no longer create any reaction. Om agina tamananda shajananjana shalakaya shakshulimilitam yena tasmai shri gudave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swaparantikam. So this is one of a series of verses here in the second chapter describing the process of becoming enlightened in Krishna consciousness. So it's something to look forward to if you haven't already experienced it. I'm not trying to suggest that I have. Maybe there are others here who have, so with all due respect to them, I don't want to undermine or underestimate their position. But this is describing what happens when you become enlightened. Really, the key thing here, Prabhupada kind of indicates it in different places in the purport, is in the engagement in devotional service. It's something that's awarded. Becoming enlightened is something that's awarded by Krishna. Prabhupada quotes that verse, Bhagavad Gita 10:11. It goes together with 10:10. Tesham satati, famous verses. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Tesham eva anakam partam ahamagyanajam tamaha nasyami atmabhavishto gyanadipena bhashvatada. Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the intelligence, or get the new translation. I give them the intelligence by which they could come to me. Out of compassion for them, I, who am dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness point of ignorance. See? So enlightenment is awarded by Krishna. So it's a gift, but at the same time, you have to qualify for it. It is a gift. There's no mechanical thing you could do to get it, but it's not. Krishna doesn't just whimsically give it out. We have to be ready to do the work. You know, we have to be ready and willing to engage in, you know, satata yuktanam, always engaged, and bhajatam pritipurvakam, worshiping Krishna with loving ecstasy. And those are the two qualifications. And if we do that, then the Dhammu Buddhi Yogam Tamo, Krishna said, Avam Nasyami Atma Bhavishto, Gyana Dipena Bhavishto, I'm within the heart, I destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. He does that for a person who does those two things, engages constantly and worships him with love. Practically speaking, what that means is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master is coming down in disciplic succession. He's the external manifestation of the Supersoul. He's the transparent via media. His instructions, when you're following the instructions of the spiritual master, you're engaging in devotional service. Right? The instructions of the spiritual master, no mystery. It's just exactly what we're doing right here. You know, you're perfectly poised. Everybody who's here in this room and you know, engaging, participating in this ISKCON, you know, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, sorry, Krishna Movement, is perfectly situated, to moving towards enlightenment. Right? Just exactly what we're doing here, chanting 16 rounds, following the four regular principles, attending the program, trying to engage in service to further the mission. These are exactly the things that somebody should be doing if they are desiring to progress towards, you know, experiencing what's being described here, becoming enlightened like that. Underlying that, though, it's not these activities that Prabhupada has given us are of the utmost importance. Prabhupada was an experienced, self-realized, pure devotee, spiritual master. He knew exactly what he was doing. Everything he gave us was completely perfect. Every part of the program is sacrosanct. And if just by plugging in, you know, following strictly all the different aspects of what Prabhupada's given us, one is definitely going to get purified and make advance in devotional service. But the underlying principle is to do it with a mood of trying to please the spiritual master, not just mechanically. That's the underlying principle of all of our activities. We should be desiring to please the spiritual master by what we're doing. You know, pleasing the spiritual master by how we're chanting our rounds, pleasing the spiritual master by how we're attending the program, pleasing the spiritual master by how we're going about performing our service. Everything should be done in an attempt, in that mood of trying to please the spiritual master. And so when Krishna sees it, that's what, you know, internally, that's what's going on, then that's what he reciprocates with. You know, Krishna's pleased by that, and then he nasyami atma bhavishto gyanadipena bhashvata. Then that's when he destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness, boredom, ignorance. See? So the mood is really important. I mean, the activities are really important too. But the mood is, we want both. We want to be engaged in the proper activities that, you know, are specifically given to us by the spiritual master in a mood of trying to please him. And the combination of those two things is very powerful. You know, Krishna is known as Bhava Grihi Janardhan. Bhava means, you know, the mood, the ecstasy, In that first Teshuvim says, you know, Bajatam Priti Purvakam, Bajatam. Oh, well, it's not mentioned there, but that's Bhava, ecstasy, the mood. And then Grahi means to grasp. See, so Bhava Grihi Janardhan. Krishna grabs the mood. He's interested in that. With what mood, with what feeling are you performing your activity? See? So if we're performing the activity with that feeling to please Krishna, that Krishna is aware of that. He's in the heart, and he knows everything. He knows all our thoughts, all our feelings, everything. So when he becomes aware of that, this person is trying to engage in devotional service according to the instructions prescribed, instructions of the spiritual master, with a mood, with a proper mood, and Krishna is very pleased by that. He reciprocates. He destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. That's how it works. And that's a really important point to remember, because sometimes I get flashbacks of different things that I've done as a devotee, bona fide things. There was a time when I was in Australia when they stopped book distribution because the PR, public relations, was so bad, and they had to sell all sorts of different paraphernalia. So we sold everything under the sun: paintings, candles, records, toys, knives, what? Lollipops, you name it. We stickers. A couple dozen different items. And we went every place. I went into slaughterhouses, gambling casinos, fancy office buildings, and because we went door to door. And sometimes, I used to always be thinking, like, well, yeah, this is really important that I'm doing this. This is really important preaching. I'm spreading the. But in retrospect, sometimes when I get these flashbacks, I realize, what was so important about that? Did that really have anything significant to do to spread the Krishna conscious movement? And as I said, in retrospect, I think, well, probably not. Probably it wasn't such a big deal that I was in that silver mine out in, middle of the desert in Australia trying to sell candles or something. But what was important was that I was trying to surrender to Krishna. In other words, that was my devotional service. I was, my consciousness was, okay, I'm in Prabhupada's movement. There's a hierarchy here. There's temple president. There's GBC. There's, sannyasis. And this is what they want me to do. So I'm going to do it. This is my service. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to do it to try to please the authorities. And, like that. So that was what's significant. Bhava Grihi Janardhan. In other words, is it important that somebody was out in the middle of the Simpson Desert in Australia trying to sell candles No. But is it important that a soul trying to surrender to a spiritual master was, yeah. That's what's important. So Krishna sees that. And so that's what we always have to remember. And that's how there's no material impediment in devotional service. There's no material impediment. Anybody could make advancement in devotional service because it's not based upon any material qualification. You don't have to be intelligent. You don't have to be, it's nice if you are, but you don't have to be strong. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be intelligent. You don't have to be good looking. Nothing. You could be materially a total loser, so to speak. But if you just sincerely try to take up this process of, just the simple things that Prabhupada has given us to do, sincerely, wholeheartedly, you make advancement. There's no power on earth that can stop somebody from making advancement in devotional service. It's not under the control of the material energy. It's under the control of the internal energy. See? So Krishna's in the heart, and when Krishna understands that a living entity is sincerely trying to surrender, follow the instructions of the pure devotee, then Krishna reciprocates. Krishna reciprocates. And you experience that reciprocation in the form of getting a handle on your bad habits. I don't know about maybe some fortunate person who doesn't have any bad habits, but if you have, you know what it's like. But when you start engaging sincerely in devotional service, you feel like, initially you feel like you're kind of getting a handle on it. You're able to at least better manage things that were giving you a problem before, you're able to better manage that. You know, you might have been sleeping like a bear, and now you just sleep like a normal human being, and or eating like a horse, and now you're just eating like like that. And then beyond that, you get a taste for chanting. It's not necessarily something that you experience at every moment, every day, but Krishna gives you little glimpses. He gives you a taste for chanting. You're chanting and you're experiencing a pleasure while you're chanting Hare Krishna or chanting any of the other devotional songs that we chant in the during the morning program, or when you're reciting verses or anything. You know, you have a taste for chanting. And it develops from there. Nam, Rup, Guna, Lila. You know, it starts with a name, though. It starts with the chanting. And then you develop an appreciation for the form, for the qualities, and then the pastimes. And you can experience how Krishna's reciprocating with you in your service. You can experience. You're trying to please Krishna, and you could feel how, as you're making advancement, you could experience how Krishna is reciprocating with you, at least in the form of that, giving you that taste. Giving you that taste. And also you feel like you're getting some realization about the philosophy. So what's that verse? Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jnaniyati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Hoitakamdat. Causes knowledge and detachment. You feel like you're getting realization on the philosophy. It's not just a bunch of gobbledygook. You feel like, yeah, this makes sense. And you're feeling really more confident about it and more convinced. And at the same time, you're getting a taste. Actually, it gets to the point where you get, even, and I don't know if this is a particularly advanced stage, but it really gets to the point where nobody could tell you otherwise. Just like Prabhupada gives that example of a person who's hungry and they give him good edibles. And, he doesn't have to ask anybody, am I still hungry? No. He knows he's not hungry. He knows he's enjoyed that food. He's enjoying it. He's feeling good. There's nobody that could tell him. Nobody in the world could go up to him. Not the most sophisticated salesman or something could go and convince him otherwise and try to tell him, actually, you're still hungry. No. He's sitting there knowing, no, I feel good. I've eaten it. Same thing. When you just sincerely engage in this process, gradually what happens is you start getting, that realization. And then there's nobody that could tell you otherwise. Nobody could tell you Krishna consciousness is a bluff or something like that, because you're experiencing it. You're directly experiencing it yourself. So that's something to look forward to. And something that, this is a, I'm sure it's related to everything I've said so far, but I can't exactly think of the link here, the connection. But I was had this realization just, I guess it was yesterday, that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, of course, the holy name of the Lord is non-different from the Lord himself. So when you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're personally associating with Krishna. But at the same time, we give the Hare Krishna mantra a figurative meaning. We say it means, oh my Lord, please engage me in your service. Right? Oh my Lord, please engage me in your service. Everybody's heard that a million times. But so when you hear that, what does that mean to you? Up till a couple of days ago, whenever I think of that phrase, oh my Lord, please engage me in service, I always would come to mind like being in the spiritual world and, bringing in a platter of food to Krishna or sewing a garland or something like that, But then a couple of days ago, I just had, I don't know if it's a realization or not, but I had at least the thought that, oh my Lord, please engage me in your service. And I thought to myself, wait a second, what is Krishna's service? And then the verse popped to my mind. Parichanaya sadhanam vinishaya chaduskritam dharma samstapranataya sambhavama yuge yuge. And I think I've heard, if not Prabhupada, at least Dhritakarma, somebody bona fide say that verse describes Krishna's mission. That's Krishna's mission, to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish the principles of religion, Krishna says. That's why he comes. In the previous verse, I event myself, millennium after millennium. So that's Krishna's mission, okay? So here we are. That's Krishna's mission here on earth. He's not talking about, when he says that, he's not talking about that's his mission in Goloka Vrindavan. He's talking about that's his mission here in the material world. And here we are in the material world, okay? And we're chanting Hare Krishna, please engage me, oh Lord, please engage me in your service. So What about assisting Krishna in his mission? That's a fulfillment of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. See, when you chant Hare Krishna, you're asking Krishna, please engage me in your service. And Krishna's going, okay. Yeah, why not? Here's the service. My mission is to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish the principles of religion. Go for it. I need help. You know, we can see how unestablished the principles of religion are, right? So there's plenty of service. So that's a way we can, that's the fulfillment of the chanting, to engage, to try to, some way or another, assist the mission of Krishna. The mission of Krishna is not any different from the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, Yare deke tade kara Krishna upadesh. Amara agaya guru hana tade. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. And Prabhupada, same thing. You know, chant and distribute my books. It's the same mission. So, yeah, by trying to assist in this mission, we're serving. We're serving Krishna, we're serving Lord Chaitanya, we're serving Srila Prabhupada. And this Krishna conscious movement is actually set up to help us do that. In other words, you don't have to be, of course, it's nice. If you know, Krishna's mission is to reestablish principles of religion. This movement is meant for that purpose. So what I'm trying to say is that you don't directly have to be a preacher. You don't have to directly distribute a book to somebody, although there's nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful if you can. Anything you do to help this movement, anything you do to help this Krishna conscious movement, you know, you are assisting Krishna in his mission. Because this it's like, if, you know, the example Prabhupada sometimes gives of the armed forces. Anything you do, if the country's at war, anything you do to help the armed forces, you could be a frontline soldier, you could be somebody back in the factory just, you know, tightening a nut on a bolt, but you're helping the war effort. So you're assisting in the mission. Same way, this movement is set up. This is like the military, you know, this is where they, whatever branch, you know. And so anything you do to help this movement, you're assisting Krishna in his mission. You're fulfilling the Hare Krishna mantra, right? So everybody should be, so there's no higher and lower in one sense. There's no higher and lower. It's not like, oh, well, this person, he's giving the class, he's important, but what can I do? You know, I can only do. No. As we mentioned earlier in the class, Krishna doesn't see like that. Krishna sees bhavak or hijanardan. You know, everybody's different. Everybody's got a different psychophysiological makeup. Everybody's got different karma. In other words, everybody's got different talents and abilities. Okay? So it's not like you got to become more talented or more able. Although there's nothing wrong with that. The point is, whatever talents you have, whatever abilities you have, just engage it in Krishna's service and try to use your talents and abilities to help the Krishna consciousness movement. Sincerely, wholeheartedly. And that's perfection. That is perfection. You're going to get purified by doing that. You're going to make advancement by doing that. You see, it's not like, Rabindranath has to become a Ratnabhushan, or Ratnabhushan has to become Dravida. No. You just, whatever talents and abilities you got, you know, whatever you got going for you, try to use it in Krishna's service. Try to use it to help the Krishna consciousness movement. You know, Prabhupada will be pleased. Krishna's in the heart. He sees that. He'll understand how you're sincerely trying to engage yourself in devotional service, and you'll get the mercy. You know, Krishna will reciprocate, and exactly what's being talked about in this verse, that's what you'll experience. You'll experience exactly that. Krishna says, out of compassion for them, to those who are constantly devoted, they use whatever they got going for him. They just try to use it sincerely to serve him, and they do it since they do it regularly. They do it in a mood of wanting to, you know, serve and help and please the spiritual master. And Krishna says to them, I destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Krishna enlightens you from within. Right? There's that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. When you are enlightened by the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then your knowledge will reveal everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So, you know, at that time, you'll understand who Krishna is. You'll understand who you are, how you're the eternal servant of Krishna. You'll be getting inspiration from within how to more and more favorably engage in Krishna's service. Okay? Yeah, and so once again, this is available for anybody. Yeah, the qualification is simply willingness. Just a willingness to try to engage, you know. And everybody, we should all be very optimistic and enthusiastic of the prospect of becoming successful in Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna, this is one purport in the 8th canto where Prabhupada says, only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he is always trying to do so. Even before we offer our prayers, Krishna is incessantly trying to deliver us. His only aim is to deliver us. See? It's not that he becomes attentive only after we offer prayers. No, even before that. So and it goes on to say, therefore he's unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable condition of material life and bringing us back home, back to Godhead. So the point is that not only is Krishna unlimitedly powerful, you know, I'm not even going to bother quoting the verses. Not only is Krishna unlimitedly knowledgeable, he is, both those things, but most significantly, and this is actually in the prayers of the personified Vedas, they pray like this, most significantly, most importantly, he's unlimitedly merciful. Krishna is unlimitedly merciful. In what? In making sure that we have a nice, pleasant experience here in this material world? Absolutely not. That is not. It's a total misunderstanding. Absolutely not. That's obvious, right? Krishna's not unlimitedly merciful in making sure that we have a wonderful experience here in this material world. That's not how Krishna's unlimited mercy is understood. He's unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable condition of material life and bringing us back home, back to Godhead. See? So, point is, if that's what we want, we got a good shot. I mean, logically, I'm just talking logically now. If it's true that Krishna's unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable condition of material life and bringing us back home, back to Godhead, and we go before Krishna, we go before the deities, and we pray, my dear Lord, sometimes I pray, because I don't know who to pray to sometimes. Should I pray to Gunatai? Should I pray to Rukmini Dwagati? Should I pray to... So sometimes I pray, altars 1, 2, and 3, please be merciful to me. An abbreviated version. I get everybody that way, you know. But whoever you pray to, just pray, my dear Lord, I'm willing to do the work. I understand you're not going to hand this over to me on a silver platter, you know. I'm willing to do the work. Please help me. I want to become a pure devotee. Guide me, work with me. I understand I got to make an effort on my part. I'm willing to do it. Please help me. Why won't Krishna do it? Why won't Krishna do that? Why won't Krishna respond to that prayer? I mean, the statement is there that he's unlimitedly merciful in bringing us back home, back to Godhead. And you're coming up in front of him and you're presenting yourself and saying, okay, sign me up. I want to do that. I want to go back to Godhead. And I understand I got to do the work. You know, I mean, just help me. You know, guide me. Bring me along. Walk me through it, Krishna. Please walk me through it. And he will. It makes sense, right? He's going to do that. Because that's exactly what he's saying. It's important to him. So therefore, the future for a devotee is very, very bright. We just have to be sincere. That's it. Really, that's practically the only qualification, just to be sincere about trying to follow what our spiritual master has given us. And everything else will just fall in place, step by step by step. I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions? Archer Dabhu, yeah.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class, Bhagavad Pati Prabhu. Two things. One, sorry for the interruption, but it just brought back to mind a conversation I mentioned to you yesterday that I had with Naranjan Swami about you being one of his favorite Sankirtan devotees. So he mentioned about paraphernalia distribution, particularly lollipops. He said he remembered that you would go up to a person and say, open your mouth. And then when the person would open their mouth, he would say, just as I thought, the jaundice of Abhidya. Yeah, you're suffering from this jaundice. Here, take this lollipop. So he specifically mentioned lollipop distribution. That's why I said that. Then the other thing is that when you read the translation, you correctly said that S should be a capital S when one sees the self as master. On the database they have it as a small s, but it really should be a cap s, and that's supported in the purport. I don't have it in front of me right now, but there's a sentence there. Prophet says that one sees the Lord as the master.
Right.
In other words, because many people like to think of themselves as master, they want to realize themselves as being master. So that really resonates with them. Oh yeah, when I see the self, me, as master, then everything will be fine. But that's not what that verse is saying. It's saying that when you see the self with a cap S, and if somebody has a purport and can just scan real quickly, you'll see there's a sentence there. You want to read it?
No, I can't. I can't find it.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, there's a sentence there where Prophet supports what your conclusion.
Chai. Others? Granga Prem.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. So sometimes when I'm doing the book distribution, I will meet some people asking some challenge question, saying that
challenging question.
Saying that if you are saying that God is always merciful, Krishna is always merciful, why he's allowing so many wars? And as well as like hurricanes, earthquake happening like that.
I was trying to make that point. I guess I didn't really elaborate upon it, but he's not unlimitedly merciful in making sure we have a nice arrangement and nice experience here in this material world. Prabhupada says in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the purport to 8 to 13, I think it is, or 12, he says, unless one has a pessimistic outlook to its material life, one has no impetus to make advancement in spiritual life. So sometimes Krishna is dishing out a lot of tough love, you know, especially to people who aren't devotees. You know, he's got to educate them, basically. You know, this is a place where souls come that need to be educated, and that's part of their education. It's tough love, and it's not pleasant at all, but they got to learn something. They got to learn that this isn't a place where you come to, you know, enjoy yourself. It's not the idea to come here and try to enjoy life to the material body. And sometimes it's, you know, people have to learn the hard way. And that's my understanding of why, you know, a lot of these things happen. It's Krishna. It's not like Krishna is not merciful. It's not like Krishna wants to see living entities suffer. But he's trying to educate them, and sometimes that's what he's got to do as part of the process of educating them. Somebody might like to add something to that or correct me if that...
Thank you, Rigapati Prabhu. It's really nice to have you speak this morning. I was remembering from the also from the prayers that were personified Vedas, where this argument's brought up, and Srila Prabhupada speaks about how certainly the Lord is indirectly responsible for the maintenance and creation of this material universe, but he's not responsible for the reactions that come due to the misbehavior of the conditioned souls in relationship to, you know, the laws of material nature. But I have a question on that. Also, I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, and he was talking about how by taking up this Hare Krishna movement, all of your problems will be solved materially and spiritually. And he refers to how so many devotees in America, they'd come from wealthy families, but they were so downtrodden, they were so depressed, they were so, you know, addicted to so many sinful activities, and simply by taking up Krishna consciousness, their lives improved dramatically, even materially as well. So that was my question. You know, when we talk about this sometimes, especially for somebody, say a newcomer, they might feel like, oh my God, these guys are so pessimistic, you know, like I can't even have a life, you know, there's no future for me, you know. It almost borders on like a type of daily depression. So what would, you know, what's your insight into that? Was my question.
Well, karmani nidrahati kintu chabakti bhajam. Sometimes, you know, Krishna, he can nullify reactions to simple activities that we might have coming to us. Krishna is going to do whatever is going to help that soul come closer to him. And it might be, in the case of neophyte devotees, or even advanced devotees, it might be, you know, letting them, making things more convenient for them or better here in the material world. that might be what that soul requires to be, you know, get encouraged, get enthused, and help them in their devotional service. If that's the case, if it's going to help somebody in their devotional service, then Krishna can make that arrangement. That, you know, bad karma that you're suffering from or that you have coming to, he could eradicate that. He could have that, he could just push that away, so it's not a problem, an impediment for you to, you know, continue in your devotional service. That he could do that. He could do that. You know, Krishna, the main thing, I think the overarching principle is that Krishna is trying to help each soul make it back to Godhead. He's trying to help each soul get purified, become a pure devotee, so he could take them back home, back to Godhead. And he'll do whatever has to be done as a means to that end. And in some cases, it might be making it, you know, giving that person a concession, and then they won't have to suffer as much, even materially, as they would have otherwise if they didn't become a devotee. So that can happen too. I feel that happened to me. I feel like, man, if I didn't become a devotee, whoo, I would have been suffering like any. I don't think I'd be alive, to be honest with you. So I feel like I really, materially and spiritually, well, spiritually not so much, unfortunately, but I definitely feel like I'm way better off materially than I would have been if I didn't become a devotee. So I think I'm an example of what you're talking about. I feel I'm, you know, Krishna's definitely allowed me to be a lot more happy and comfortable in this material than I would have been otherwise if I didn't become a devotee. My future was not, like, looking very bright. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I read this where Prabhupada's talking about somebody, he's talking in the Bhagavad Gita about those who are mixed devotees, and that sometimes we pray for material things, and that the Lord may grant some material benediction, and then when the devotee receives that, they become so happy and enthused that they become, you know, they enter into the realm of pure devotional service.
That's right there in the purport in the seven chapter, text 19 or 20 or 21.
Chapter 7, text 19.
No, 20 or 21.
20 or 21.
Yeah, it's right in the purport there.
So you're so familiar with it. So my question is that in the conditioned state, which I'm practicing devotional service within, see, it seems like there's a period, there's a situation where, you know, you're not practicing a pure devotional service. You know what it is. You're praying sometimes for it. You're aspiring for it, but you're also dealing with this conditioned state of material desire. So, you know, you were become connected to the preaching, and that ultimately will carry you on. But, I mean, in a practical everyday life, say, for example, a young person that comes to our movement. Now, many of the younger devotees, and maybe they're the children of the children of devotees even, they feel that there's no security in that statement. You know, it's kind of like Arjuna's question, you know, don't you become like a riven cloud? Here I am, I've got material desire, and yet you're telling me to surrender everything to Krishna. I want so much sense gratification, you're telling me no. Now what do I do?
Well, my advice to that person or somebody in that situation would be, if you have some faith, just do the best you can. Do whatever you can do. Just do whatever you can muster up, and Krishna will take care of it. You know, Krishna will, you'll get purified to some extent. Go, if you feel like you can't fully surrender, just partially surrender. Prabhupada says in different places, Krishna's like the sun. You know, the sun, it's prophylactic and antiseptic. The sun shines down on a pool of urine, and that pool of urine gets evaporated, and then the whole place gets sterilized like that. So it's always auspicious. It's always good to try to come, you know, contact Krishna. So just, even if you can't be a pure devotee, be a mixed devotee. Be a devotee. Just somehow or another, be a devotee. Because I can't remember the verse in the fifth canto, but there's a verse where Krishna says something to the effect that, you know, if somebody comes to me and they're wanting material enjoyment, that's not good. That's kind of foolish, you know. But I'm not foolish. I'll handle that person in such a way that they'll become a pure devotee eventually. I'll see to that. So just, how exactly it'll happen, I can't say, but just be a devotee. Somehow or another, be a devotee and leave it up to Krishna. Krishna will take care of the rest. So just encourage, if somebody, you know somebody in that position, encourage them to do as much as they can. You know, chant as much as they can, serve as much as they can, and then They'll get purified. It'll be a gradual process, but they'll eventually, maybe not even in this lifetime, but they'll eventually come to the Plathmaputra devotional service. Krishna will make sure of that. Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Brigapati Prabhu Ki.
Uh-huh.